Praised be Jesus and Mary. In just a few sentences, let's first summarize the life of Saint Conrad of Piacenza, whom we celebrate today. He was born in around 1290. He was a man who had wealth and loved to hunt. And while hunting one day, he was around 25 years old at this point, already married, enjoying his wealth. He gave himself to hunting one day, and for the purposes of hunting, to get whatever it was that he was hunting, whatever animal he was after, to get it to come out into the open, he set fire to some shrubs in the woods where he was hunting, hoping that that would do the trick. However, the fire got out of control and went on to do a lot of damage to those woods and to the field of a nearby farmer. Saint Conrad, at that point, was afraid of admitting what he had done and didn't confess it to anybody. That led to an innocent man being blamed and accused for it, and even condemned to death because the damage was very grave. And that led Saint Conrad finally to come out and confess his crime, as he saw this innocent man being led to his death. He finally, in front of everybody, confessed that it was his fault and saved the life of this innocent man who would have been otherwise justiced. This act of self-incrimination spared Conrad the death sentence. He did reparation for all the damage he had done. And at that time also, in agreement with his wife, he became a hermit in Sicily. He joined a group of Franciscans, became a hermit to do penance, and to also to live a life of detachment from the world, which had become loathsome to him. His wife, in the meantime, became a poor Clare nun, and thus he acquired heroic virtue and sanctity and died in the year 1351. So just in a few sentences, Saint Conrad. And this fact of his guilt moving him to own up to what he had done, because he knew that God saw what men didn't see, he saw his heart, leads us to the reflection, to the thought for the day on Genesis, where God, looking upon the earth, sees how no desire of man was ever anything but evil. And I'd like to just stop today and look at a few thoughts St. Alphonsus shares with us about the morality of our thoughts and how we need to be very vigilant about our thoughts, because God sees them. And God holds us responsible for them. And our thoughts, not just our external actions, actions that human beings, other men can see, but even our thoughts, God holds us responsible for. They are moral. They are either good or bad. So, looking at St. Alphonsus, he tells us that bad thoughts, particularly the ones against the 9th and 10th commandments, can sometimes inflict an even deeper wound on the soul than external acts. And these thoughts, so thoughts that are deliberately entertained, so thoughts that we know we shouldn't keep in our mind, but thoughts that nonetheless we hold on to, these are more dangerous on many accounts. First, because sins of thought are more easily committed than sins of action. The occasions of sinful acts are frequently wanting, missing, not available, but sins of thought are committed without the occasion. He says, watch out, because sins of thought are all the easier to commit. They can happen in your head without even having the opportunity to do what you wish to do. Be careful. And thoughts can be sinful according to the object of what we desire, whether it is venially or mortally sinful. Secondly, says St. Alphonsus, at the hour of death, sinful actions cannot be committed, but we may then be guilty of sins of thought. And he who has a habit of consenting to bad thoughts during life will have that habit at the moment of his death too. He'll be that same person with the same habits, same bad inclinations. So he who has a bad habit of consenting to bad thoughts during life will be in danger of indulging them at death, whether it is objectifying other people, whether it is suspecting other people, judging them, condemning them. All these habits we will still have even when we're dying. And then, in fact, temptations will be most violent because the devil is most violent in trying to snatch that soul and take it to himself. And we can add a third danger to bad thoughts, that that the step from deliberate thought to action is an easy one. If our minds delight in whatever it is, and whatever it is that we would desire to do, it's all the easier to pass and to actually act upon it. So it puts us in grave danger also of acting upon the thoughts that we think we are harming no one. So St. Alphonsus tells us, well, there are remedies against bad thoughts which we should try to employ. He says we should take away the occasions of evil thoughts, avoid dangerous occasions, and keep at a distance from bad company. So take away the opportunities, take away the occasion for sin, take away the causes of the temptations. Especially mortification of the eyes. If we're tempted, if bad thoughts come into our minds, we should ask ourselves, well, where do they come from? Where are these bad thoughts coming from? What kind of conversations do I participate in? If I'm perhaps tempted to judge others, well, what kind of conversations do I listen to? What kind of conversations do I participate in? If any other bad thought comes into my mind, against especially St. Alphonsus, the sixth and ninth commandments, well, what kind of movies do I watch? What kind of music do I listen to? What kind of books and magazines do I read? If I have, for example, maybe thoughts of doubt against the faith, well, again, you know, what kind of faith formation do I give myself, if any? Do I put any input into my mind about the faith? Do I seek to answer my own questions? What kind of websites do I visit, etc., etc.? You should take away the occasions of evil thoughts, avoid dangerous occasions, keep at a distance from bad company, and instead fill our minds with good things. Because on the one hand, if we put trash into our minds, that's what we'll have on our minds. We'll be tempted to think it, to rethink it, to like it, to desire it, and to do it. If instead we put good input into our minds, we'll have that on our minds. We'll think it, we'll love it, we'll do it, we'll pursue it. St. Alphonsus goes on and tells us that we should be doing this positively on our part, trying to avoid occasions, trying to avoid the temptations. But what do we do? What do we do if nonetheless temptations come? We try to avoid them, but nonetheless they come. Should temptations continue, it will be very useful to make them known to your confessor. St. Philip Neri used to say that a temptation disclosed is half conquered. And in assaults of impurity, some saints have had recourse to very severe mortifications, St. Benedict, St. Peter of Alcantara. But I consider the best means of overcoming these temptations, any bad thoughts of whatever nature they might be, I consider the best means in overcoming them is to have recourse to God, who will certainly give us the victory, praying to God. And when, after asking aid from God, the temptation continues, nonetheless, we must not cease to pray, but must multiply our prayers. It is true, all our efforts are useless unless God sustains us by his own hand. But he sometimes requires these efforts on our part, that he may supply our deficiency and secure us the victory. Pray. We must pray when we're tempted, especially when tempted with thoughts we don't want to be in our minds. And one last thought from St. Alphonsus. One thing is sure. If we sincerely do not want to offend God, if we sincerely want to avoid evil desires, which our Lord sees and detests and judges us for, holds us responsible for, if we sincerely don't want to offend God, if we do what's in our power to avoid bad thoughts and reject them when they come, if we have recourse especially to Our Lady, who crushes the head of the tempter, crushes the head of the serpent, then we can be sure that she will never let us offend God, neither by thoughts or actions or any other way. So let's guard our hearts for God. Let's keep them free from any evil desires. And let's pray to our Lord when tempted. Let's pray especially to his Blessed Mother, whom he has given to us as a special remedy, as a special aid in these battles. And we may be sure that if we invoke her, we will always be victorious. Praised be Jesus and Mary.